to the skin. And then I thought, so I grabbed a little bowl of water, put a little water in it, stirred it up, and then I put it on mine and gave it to my wife. And after just a few seconds, it was a spearmint. After a couple of seconds, it started burning. I said, baby, I think I figured out why you're not supposed to put it on your skin. And so then I wiped it off. Well, on the way to church, she said, you still got your headache? I said, a little bit. She said, I've got some that doesn't burn. So I took her essential oil. Problem was, I put it in the same spot, so all I did was just revived. It's like adding wood back to the fire. So then I said, now give me a Kleenex. I got to wipe it off again. So for those of you that have ever wondered, should you put it on your skin? I don't know about all of them, but spearmint, do not put on your skin. So that one you want to follow the directions. So if you've ever wondered about that. So my wife has one of those diffusers, which some of you know what that is. For those of you that don't have essential oils, you have no idea what we're talking about anyway, but we usually put them in that. And she uses that around the house when she's sleeping. But, again, I guess there's a reason why you're not supposed to put it directly on your skin. John chapter 1. The other day, my son sent me a... Now, I knew that he was... Some of you understand what this will be. Some of you don't because you're not in the military. And I wouldn't have accepted the fact that I've got kids in the military now and had some. But my son had told us that he was told to try out for a warrant officer. And so... Again, he's already a master sergeant, a staff sergeant, they told him to try out for a warrant officer, and it was his commanding officer on his base that told him to do that, and said he'd put in a good word for him. And then the other day, he texted me a thing and said, Dad, this is from the colonel of our whole division, and of the six people who had put in ordnance officer or whatever it is, he said, I recommend Mr. Block, Joshua Block, as the first one that of all these six candidates, I would recommend him. So Josh said that would probably make it where he gets it the first time. Sometimes they apply and they have to wait a while, and then they can do it again. But wouldn't an officer apparently makes a big difference in his career and a big difference in pay and things like that. So I was pretty excited. So I told him I was proud of him, and I told all my kids that. But then I got thinking about that. There's been times I didn't tell him I was proud of him. You know why? Because there's times I wasn't proud of some of the stuff my kids did. Now there's three groups of people in this room tonight. Those of us who are old and our kids are already grown and gone. So we're done past all that child bearing and rearing stuff. Some of you here that have kids, and then some who never had kids at all. So, I mean, there's three different groups of people. Those of you who never had kids don't really, I mean, you just have to take our word for it, some of the stuff that we talk about, because if you haven't experienced it, some of you really can't, you know, you can't grasp. But my children have made me very proud of them through the years, and there's been times my children have made me very ashamed of them or very sad for them. And I'm not going to ask any of you if your children ever, you know, let you down or did stuff that you wasn't too proud of. But by the way, the same thing was true of me. One time my wife and I was fussing about one of the kids, and I said, well, did you do everything your parents told you to do? She went, well, no. I said, well, duh. I mean, you know, we kind of bring forth after our kind. So, I mean, sometimes our kids don't always do everything we want them to do either. And again, we got enough problem with one Brother Block. We really don't need three or four Brother Blocks. I mean, the truth is, I mean, and by the way, the same is true of some of you. We've got enough issues with one of you. We don't need three or four of you. So we don't want any person to be exactly like. Brother Perry sent me a text the other day. They was at the rodeo grounds last Friday, and he sent me a picture and said, Brother Block's at the rodeo grounds. And I'm thinking, what? Then I looked at it, and it looks exactly like me, except his nose is a little bit different than my nose. But he had the camouflage jacket and the camouflage hat, and I don't have a beard mustache now. And then he said, that's how I knew it wasn't Brother Block. And he was doing one of the things I loved doing, which was eating. So, I mean, a lot of similarities. And so Brother Perry says, what are you doing at the rodeo? And I said, that's not me, Brother Perry. He said, yes, it is. Or if not, it's your twin. But so there is someone out there that looks like me. And there is someone in San Antonio that has the same name as me. And by the way, he doesn't pay his bills. And don't think with it like, because I pay mine and he does not. Because I used to get the bill collectors would call me and want to know when I was going to pay that bill. And I'd say, don't have any idea who you're talking about. And he was also a teacher, which didn't make it any easier. He was a teacher, not in the public school, but he was a teacher and had Chris Block as his name. So, and I was in the phone book back then. Some of you don't even know what a phone book is. But back when we had phone books, I was in the phone book and he was not. So everyone that needed him could find my number in the phone book, but not his. And so, then I got thinking about the truth is, I mean, God, Jesus never had, he didn't get married and didn't have kids himself. But you know what he calls us? Notice John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. The truth is, what God does is God calls folks who get saved, God called the children of Israel his children. Those of us who are saved, most of us are not Jew or have Jewish lineage, but when we got saved, we became his children. So I got thinking about that. I thought there are some lessons I can learn from God when it comes to child rearing, even though God, didn't ever get married, or Jesus didn't ever get married and have children. So tonight I want to title the lesson or the message, Lessons Learned from God About Child Rearing. I want to just give you a couple simple truths. For those of you that already have children that have grown and gone, this might come in handy because, again, sometimes we still deal with our children, even in their later ages. For those of you that have children at home, it might help you as well. So we want to look at that tonight. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless this evening. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to get the thoughts across that you gave me. And I pray, Lord, that they'd be simple and clear and that, Father, might be a help and advantage to somebody. I pray, Lord, you speak through me and use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give you seven simple truths. Now, it's hard to follow Brother Nichols now because used to, Brother Nichols preached for about an hour. And then when he got sick, he started preaching for like a half hour. So, and it's hard for those of you, some of you that preach, know it's hard to get up and preach a message, especially if you got 4, 5, or 6 points, because we have the tendency of going rabbit trails. Brother Nichols, now lately he's got feeling better, so he's actually went running down some rabbit trails and get off the thought. But for the first 3 or 4 months that he started preaching again, it was, 10 points, boom, 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 and then pray and we're gone. And looking, it's like, on Sunday night, we start at 6 and we're out by 7. On Wednesday night, we start at 7:30 and we're out by 8:30. Many of you, how many remember the days when we used to get out at 9 or 9:15? But how many of you have enjoyed getting out early? Don't lie, all of us have. So the truth is, I enjoyed it when we changed the 7 o'clock hour to 6 o'clock hour because we got home Sunday night and it's like, wow, we got time to do something. This time after church, because used to it was after church, let's go home, get the kids ready for bed. School's on Monday, so throw the kids in bed and start the week all over again. But now when we get out by 7 o'clock and you got time to fellowship and you're still home by 7:30, and unless you go to bed really early, you still got some time to be up. I know some of you go to bed early, but usually 7:30 is not your bedtime, except Brother Yala, he goes to bed early. I'm just joking. I don't know. Do you go to bed early, Brother Yala? You're a night guy? Not you're not that late, but not 7:30. Gotcha. So some simple truths that we might learn tonight. Truth number one: they don't always listen. I'm talking about children. This is something, a lesson we can learn from God. Your children don't always listen. Teach them anyway. Now, when you think about that, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to read 3 verses in Jeremiah, and we'll have the same basic phrase all 3 times. Now, again, I could have gave you 100 verses on this. Because the children of Israel, who were God's children, the children of Israel, this was one of their problems, often. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened. That's the key phrase. Have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. Jeremiah 7, verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 26, 2 verses down. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Now, who was he talking about? He's talking about his children. Now, I don't mean his flesh and blood children, because, again, God didn't get married and have kids, but he's talking about the children of Israel, his children. Notice 1 Kings in your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 40. 2 Kings 17, 40 says, Howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. Now again, it means they went back to the way they used to be. And again, sometimes children of God, sometimes Christians do that. We call that being backslidden. Ezekiel 20, verse 8. You won't be able to keep up with all these probably because I'm going to read the next few really quick. Ezekiel 28 says, But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. Hosea 9:17, My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto me. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4 says, Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. So again, whether your children listen or not, you know what God still did? He still had the prophets prophesy. He still had Jeremiah in Jeremiah's time. And 3 of those verses came from Jeremiah. Even though the children of Israel weren't listening, you know what he still did? He still had Jeremiah preach the truth to them. And by the way, parents, whether your kids are listening or not, keep on preaching the truth to them. That's why, you said, did the children of Israel ever listen? Yes, thank goodness, there was times they did. But there were some times they didn't, but that didn't stop him from still teaching them the truth, even though they weren't listening. Point number 2. They'll make mistakes. Love them anyway. Think of David. And I could have used any examples, but David's one of my favorites. But David's also one that shows all this. They make mistakes, but love them anyway. Notice in David's life in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible makes this this statement that we've often read, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. What happened? David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But what happened? David tarried still in Jerusalem. David stayed home. Not going to read the verse, but while he stayed home, he looked across the, he went up because it was hot inside, went up on the rooftop and saw a beautiful woman bathing herself, married to someone else. By the way, David had beautiful wives. Understand, had several beautiful wives. But instead he saw someone else. The Bible says he told her, he sent for her, brought her over. They committed adultery. Then tried to fix that. Didn't, I mean, Uriah the Hittite was a good soldier and faithful to David. Ultimately, David ended up killing him. But again, understand, David sinned. Then the preacher had to talk to him in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Notice verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 says, "And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I told him the story of the sheep." David was wrath of, got all mad about it and said, that guy needs to be punished. And the prophet looked at him and said, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." I mean, he said, "You're the one that did that, David." Notice what happened. In Psalm chapter 51, a chapter that we quote quite often, and a chapter that's good not only because of David's case, but also for us, says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone to Bathsheba, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David fessed up. He went to God and said, "God, I'm so sorry I messed up." And then he asked him to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. And then what happened? Well, apparently God must have, because notice in your Bible in Acts. Now, I don't know if you don't have to be a great Bible scholar to realize 1 and 2 Samuel and Psalms is in the what? Old Testament. Acts is in the what? New Testament. But notice what Acts chapter 13, verse 22, what God says about David, I mean, years later. So this is not summing up David's life before he messed up. This is looking back at David's whole life. And here's what he said in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. "When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." He said, "You know what? David and I are close. I love David." So one of the things that all of us as parents, whether we have kids that have already grown and gone and broke our hearts and didn't always do what they're supposed to, we have kids that might do that now. You know what we're supposed to do when they make mistakes? Love them anyway. That's what God did to his children. And by the way, David wasn't the only one that he did that to. Notice number three, and I must hurry on. They can still be something even though they have flaws. Now we have the tendency to, and I've heard parents say this, "You're never going to make nothing of yourself. You're going to be a mess. You're going to ruin your life." They can still be something even with flaws. Think about David. David committed adultery. Think about Samson. Again, got in trouble with the women, had pride and a disobedience problem. Abraham was a liar. And I don't mean he just lied once. He was a liar. That was his weakness. By the way, think of you and me. And by the way, does God still use us? And the answer to that is, yes, he does. Psalms 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We started out, imperfect, and we remain imperfect. The truth is, God uses imperfect people. If you was a perfect parent, or if you had a perfect child, and that child's name would have to be Jesus, and you would have to have been Mary, or it had to have been Joseph, because that's the only perfect parents. I don't think Mary and Joseph was perfect, but if you're going to talk about a perfect child, and none of us have a Jesus. Now, you may name your son Jesus, you may name your son Jesus, but that doesn't mean he was Jesus, the Son of God. So the truth is, we will have a child that has, they got flaws. But God can still, and by the way, God can still make something of them. By the way, you have flaws. I have flaws. But the good news is, God can still make something of us. That's why he tells us in Proverbs that the just man falls seven times. What happens? He rises up again. So again, the old saying is, you got knocked down, get back up. Now again, some of you have heard the old saying, if you get knocked off the horse, get back on the horse. I told this to the kids, I don't think I've told you. I put Emily on Mondo here a while back, and then Mondo, as soon as I put her up there, Mondo took off. And she fell right off the back of Mundo, and there was a bunch of pipes and stuff right there, and she just missed the pipe, scared me, because I thought, Mundo's pretty tall. When I say pretty tall, from down there, it wouldn't be, from up here, it'd be this tall, but when she fell off, and then I said, "You want to go ride Mundo?" "No, I don't want to ride Mundo." I said, "Let's go ride Mundo." "No, I don't want to ride Mundo no more." I said, because I already knew if she didn't get back up on Mundo, she probably would never ride Mondo again. So I took her over and I said, "Let me pet him first." And I said, "We surprised him." When you said that, she'd been nagging me for 10 or 15 minutes and I was doing something. She said, "Come on, where's that Mondo?" I said, "Fine." And I just grabbed her up and chunked her up on there, and that's when he took off. And so it was partly my fault and hers for being impatient, mine for not. I should have been a little bit more careful. So we walked over there, and I petted him under and told him how stupid he was, and he better not do something like that again if he didn't want to go see Jesus and be turned into a hamburger. And then I put Emily up there. She held on. He sat for a little while, and then she got back up, and she was happy again. But the truth is, you're going to get knocked down. A lot of Christians fail, and then they lay there, and I mean, now, the truth is, there are people in here today that's terrified of dogs. You know why you're terrified of dogs? Because you had a bad experience once. Now, how many of you have ever been bit by a dog, but you still like dogs? You've been bit by a dog, but you still like dogs. Now, there have been people that got bit by a dog once, and that was it. Now, you don't want to go on the bus route if you're scared of dogs. Especially in some areas. You go down Penn Road, I mean, everyone has a pit bull. Some of them have two or three. I mean, and the thing is, some of those dogs are sneaky. I mean, some of those dogs, I mean, you rattle the gate, it's like, and they're still laying there because they figured this out before. You rattle the gate, you get in there, you get about halfway to the door, and then they come around the corner. And they don't even always come barking. They just come around the corner. It's like, I mean, and then it's like, oh, and then you're trying to decide, do I run to the door and hope someone's home? I stand there and, you know, keep knocking, hoping they come out and call off the dog, or do I try to run to the gate? Now, Brother Vineyard has a solution for that. And he told us to do this in Bible college. I've never done it. He's done it. And again, I've known some Bible college students that did it. He said, you have a dog, mean dog in your bus route? He said, I'll tell you how to fix that. He said, you take a squirt gun. How many of you have a squirt gun? And he said, get your squirt gun. Fill it full of vinegar. He said, when that dog comes out there and he's tearing at the fence, he said, just go down and go psh, psh, squirt it right in the eyes. He said, one day that mean dog had been messing with him all these weeks, and that dog came out there and he squirted it in the eyes, and the dog going, over there, and he went up, knocked on the door, and the guy said, something wrong with my dog, Brother Vineyard. Said, yeah, I think he's got something in his eyes. I mean, but Brother Vineyard was well aware of what he had in his eyes, because Brother Vineyard put it there. But the truth is, again, you and I we'll mess up. We're going to fall down. Get back up. Your kids are going to mess up. Teach them to get back up and go on. The fourth truth, when they mess up and they come to you for help, help them and forgive them. Now, here's what I have in my notes. Don't bail them out. I say, when they come to you for help. Now, if they come to you because they want you to bail them out, that's different. That's not the kind of help I'm talking about. There are some kids who go to the parents and want bailed out all the time. I wrote down some things. I haven't finished it, but I'm going to preach a sermon someday that spoiled children make terrible adults. Or make awful adults. By the way, spoiled children make awful adults. Now, I'm so thankful that my mom and dad didn't. I mean, you know. Now, for those of you that are the oldest kid, you're the privileged child. For those of you that are the baby, you're the privileged child. For all the rest of us in the middle, we didn't get any privileges, all right? We got the hand-me-downs, and the oldest kid got to do it first, and the baby got to do it first. I mean, the rest of us, we had to wait in the middle somewhere. How many of you are middle children? I don't even want to talk to you eldest ones and the babies, because you guys are just poor old children. I don't even want to mess with you tonight. Just it'll give me a bad attitude. But the truth is, I'm gonna charge you double for the chocolate strawberries if you tell me. So don't even tell me after church. It'll give me a bad attitude, and I'll struggle with my spiritual life. But again, when I talk about spoiled children, there are folks who the reason they're spoiled is mom and dad's bailed them out of every time they got into trouble, every time they messed up, every time they broke something. They never made them pay for it. They never made them fix it. They never made them apologize. And again, that's not a good thing to do. For some of you that are parents that have kids right now, your kids don't have to have everything they want. You say, but if I don't give it to them, they're going to cry. So? By the way, if they cry very long, you have to do what my parents said. You keep crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Because, see, when they're crying because they want something, they're not getting it, they don't have anything to cry about yet. But my dad was more than willing to give us something to cry about. You say, did he ever do that? Several times. And I learned, when he say, cut it out, I cut it out. I didn't have to. I'm not real bright, but I'm bright enough to figure that one out. When he said stop, my dad meant stop. That, by the way, that's why you don't do this counting thing. I laugh sometimes at parents nowadays. You better cut that out. I'm going to count to three, and then they count to three, and they have to stop. I'm going to count to three one more time, and I mean it. I mean it this time, and they count to three, and I'm thinking, how many times are you going to count to three? I guess maybe you count to three times. I'm not sure what the rule is. Or they put it in timeout. Problem is, when they go to timeout, they take their game over there and play in timeout. By the way, that was what they were doing before they got put in timeout. So I don't know how that's punishment. I mean, we didn't get timeout. I'd have loved to call timeout a few times when the discipline was going on, but it was like a ball game. You can't call, this is the time you can't call timeout. I mean, there's times I wish that I could have called timeout and told my mom, Dad, you know what, you guys need to count to three and relax a little bit. I mean, you know, think about this before you do what you're thinking about doing to me. But the truth is, they'll mess up when they come to you for help. Now, I don't know why. I told my wife this on the way to church. For some reason, we as adults, We think, I don't know why we think we're so important. If our kid fails us or doesn't do something we tell, we get all bent out of shape like, I mean, you know, I can't believe they didn't listen to me. Then I thought, you know what, as Christians, and by the way, you and I are not perfect parents. God, who is perfect, tells us stuff. We don't listen to Him. But then when we go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry, do we expect Him to forgive us? And the answer to that is, yes, we do. Now, you say, Brother Block, how many times does He have to forgive you for stuff? Now, if my kid confessed to me and had to keep asking me to, had to keep coming saying I'm sorry for the same thing as many times, if I had to go to God and tell God I'm sorry for something, trust me, I'd be way past forgiving him. But I mean, because again, I don't know if you're like me, some of mine might be setting sin. I haven't committed it just one time or five times or 10 times. I've committed it for years. I've struggled with it for months. I mean, I wish I could say, well, I mean, the thing that used to kick my rear is not kicking my rear anymore. No, I mean, the truth is, it may not happen as much, but it still happens. The truth is, when it comes to forgiving, God gave us a good example. Notice in Judges chapter 6, notice first, we'll read verses 6 and 7. Judges chapter 6, notice verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, they're in trouble. So they cried unto the Lord. What happens in verse 6 and it came, verse 7? It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. If you read on, what happened was God delivered them. In Judges chapter 10, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and served Baal. The children of Israel, if you read, especially during the time that the judges and the kings were running, it'll say the children of Israel, they did this. And by the way, God put them into bondage. Then what happened? Much like it did in Egypt, they cry unto God. God heard them, and He sent them a deliverer. And then they got backslidden again, and they do wrong. They serve Baal or other gods, and they go into bondage. God would bless the enemy and let them beat the children of Israel. The children of Israel in bondage, what the children of Israel do, they'd get right. God would forgive them, and then God would deliver them again. By the way, knowing, because He's God, knowing they're going to mess up again down the road. But because He's God, setting us a good example, He keeps forgiving. So again, when they mess up and they come to you for help, forgive them. Help them and forgive them. It's a good rule of thumb for folks that mess up at Liberty Baptist Church as well. If someone messes up, now I'm not talking about someone that messes up and is proud of the fact they messed up, but I'm talking about someone who messes up and wants to get right, forgive them. Help them back up on their feet and get them back going again. The fifth thing, if they go into the far country, forgive and welcome them back. And notice the next three words, because it's important, when they return. Now, don't go to the far country to get them, because if you do that, they're not going to learn their lesson. And by the way, your children may go to the far country someday. I don't think the prophet, Brother Nicholas told you the other day, when it comes to these prayers and stuff, he thinks they actually were you could put people's names to that. I guarantee you there was also some fathers and mothers who had children who went into the far country, and guess what? They didn't come back. But in this case, while he was in the far country, the Bible says he came to himself. Yeah. And you know what that means? He grew up. Some of you and I who have had children a little older, I mean, our kids are not 8 and 10 and 12 and 15. We had kids that made up their mind, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to raise my kids like you raised us. We're not going to shove religion down our kids' throat. We're not going to do this. And you know what's amazing? When they get a few years on them, it's like they come back and they go, Dad, Mom, I see now why you have those rules. And you know what? I find myself doing the same thing with our kids, and we just laugh. Or sometimes, by the way, we warned our kids when they were young, and we said, you better cut that out. You know what the Bible teaches? You will reap what you sow. And one of these days, when we're sitting there at Christmas dinner and the grandkids are messing up, we don't have to mess with them. They ain't our kids. So we're still enjoying Christmas dinner, and the mom's over there pulling her hair out, and Dad's pulling his hair out. What are we doing? Laughing. And we look at them, they go, don't you say a word. I mean, you know what we was going to say? Now, we didn't say it. We was going to say, I told you so. Now, because by the way, young people, you will reap what you sow, because you will bring forth after your kind. And if you are a mess at home, realize you're going to have that same issue. By the way, if you're good at home and you're the right kind of child at home, you'll reap that as well. By the way, it works for good or bad things that you sow. You sow good, you're going to reap some good. You sow bad, you're going to reap some bad. But again, when they go in the far country and they come back, welcome them. Notice in Luke chapter 15, we'll read just a couple of verses. In Luke chapter 15, well-known story, notice verse 20. This is talking about the prodigal son. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now listen, he was glad he was home. I'm not going to ask anyone if anyone here has ever had a child that ran away from home. I didn't have any really run away from home. There was a time that I told one of my children, and I told him several times, some of you have the same rule, you don't like the rules, get out. You can't go by the rules, you don't want to do what we tell you to do, go. And one of them went one time. You know what I immediately wanted to do? I wanted to go get them. Mama said to me, Mama stopped me. She said, don't do that. She said, I mean, he is wrong. And if he does, I said, but what if he, I mean, he's gone. What if he don't come back? She said, if he don't come back, then hopefully someday down the road he'll learn something. But you were right. I mean, stop. Now, the good news was he went to a church member's house and they called and asked if it was okay. And we said yes. And he stayed for a few days and then finally got right and came back home. And I can tell you that was one of the greatest days of my life when he came back home. But I wanted to go to the far country and get him. But my wife said, don't do that. He hasn't learned anything yet. He thinks, and again, by the way, when you visit someone's house, you know what you are at that time? A guest. You know what you are after you've been there for a while? Part of the family. I don't know about you, but I treat the family different than I treat guests. If one of my kids said, hey, Dad, can you get me a cup of water? He'd be like, your leg's broke? Get your own cup of water. So the truth is, I mean, that's why all of us, we look at someone, we look at other parents as kids, we look at other folks and we think, by the way, we can even look at other husbands and wives and think, wow, they've got it so lucky. You don't live with us, or you don't live with them, and you don't realize, I mean, we have issues, we have problems in our house just like you have at your house. We should start calling you Cal. You know why? Because you think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But it's not. It's the same grass on that side of the fence as it is on this side of the fence. Now, the truth is, if your child goes away, if they go in the far country and they return, welcome them. Notice verse 21. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And by the way, he didn't have any inheritance still coming. He used it all. But what did the father do? Verse 22, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. By the way, does God do that to us? And the answer to that is, yes, he does. When you and I wander far away from home, when you and I mean, we're not walking step in step with Jesus. When we get backslidden, we get away from him. And I'm not going to ask, some of you might have been in that position. Now, the good news is sometimes a person at Liberty Baptist Church will get backslidden mentally or get backslidden in their own life, but no one else knows about it. So they get right. No one even knew that they was, I mean, like when Bruce Rice mentioned the other night. Were some of you a little amazed that a missionary was questioning that? I mean, I was, and I thought, wow. But then I thought, well, there's been some times I've questioned some stuff about God. I mean, it's not like I'm going to stand up here and tell you. I thought Bruce was a lot more honest than I probably would be. But the truth is, again, the prodigal son came to himself. He came to Dad, and Dad opened it. By the way, God's the same way. That's why this lesson is here. You and I mess up. We come back and tell God we're sorry. He puts a robe back on us and a ring on our finger and says, welcome home, son. Sixth thing, I must hurry on. Kids like being praised when they do good. So praise them. Notice Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and 23. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23 told him the same thing. You know what? These guys did something. God, I mean, he'd given them the talent, he'd given them the thing, and he told them to invest it, and they had when they did. He praised them for it. Now, I had to learn the lesson the hard way. I fussed at my kids when they didn't make good grades. I didn't always praise them when they made good grades because I expected them to make good grades. So they were just doing what I expected of them, and when they didn't do something I expected, I fussed at them. One day, one of my kids said, Dad, I don't have a problem with you fussing at me when I mess up. I just wish you'd notice it when I do good. I just wish you'd tell me that I did good when I did good. So that was, I mean, my child taught me that lesson. Now, I'm sure I'd heard people tell it, but I mean, it never had hit me. I thought I already was, because all of us get thinking we're great parents. I mean, and we're doing everything good. But I learned that lesson from my child that day when he said, Dad, I don't have a problem. I understand why you spank me when I mess up. I understand why you ground me when I mess up. But when I do good, that was when I said, well, I always expect you to do good. He said, I understand, but it's not easy to do good. I mean, we have to fight the flesh. And so when we do, we just like you to say, man, proud of you. By the way, I've told my children many times in the last few years, I'm proud of them because I am proud of them. By the way, you and I, we all have, I mean, no matter who our child is, I guarantee you there's things that they do that we can tell them we're proud of them for. Someone asked me years ago when we had a big youth group, the church was big, we had a big youth group, we still got good kids. Someone told me the other day, said, you guys got such good kids. I thought, you don't know them like I do. Come here, let's talk for a minute. I didn't do that, but years ago, one of the other youth directors said, man, your kids are such good kids. What do you do? And I said, well, I brag on them. I tell them, I let them know I expect certain things, and I said, they try to live up to my expectations. Now, if you tell your kid he's a loser, guess what he's probably going to be? A loser. But if you let your kid realize, I mean, listen to me. I know I'm hard on you, but I expect some stuff from you. And I told him, I said, I expect stuff from him, and they try hard not to let me down. That's what my teenagers tried hard to please me. And by the way, that's a good thing. It's good when we try hard to please the father. It's good when we try hard to please our boss. It's good when we try hard to please our husband or wife or our parents. It's good when we try to please them. By the way, when they do please us, we need to tell them they please us. Let them know. Because it makes them want to please us some more. How many of you have a pet? I almost preached a message. My dog taught me some lessons, so I was going to preach the lessons I learned from my dog. But I didn't do that tonight because I didn't want to bring my dog in, and I also didn't want to get... She's a dribbler. Some of you know what that is, and I don't mean she's good at basketball, but I mean when she's excited, when I get home, she runs. My wife will open the door. She'll hear me come. She'll start yapping. My wife opens the door, and I open the door. She comes running out, and then she wants to jump on me. I would grab a towel. And especially if we've been out of the house for a few hours, I'd grab a towel. When she comes, I'd grab her, and I'd hold her because she dribbles all over. So, I mean, and if I pet her down here, she just dribbles on my feet. So she's worked on it. She's not as bad a dribbler as she was, but she's taught me a lot. But the thing is, I mean, when I think about it, no, listen to me. She likes to please me. When I do something, when she does something she shouldn't, like the other day, when we leave now, we take the trash because we learned after the first time. We left the trash bag there. We came home. She had emptied the whole trash bag all over the floor. And she stores stuff under the bed. So it was a big trail from the trash bag in the kitchen to the bed, to the bed. And then we got, and I looked underneath the bed and was like, oh my. I mean, it was all there. Cause she's like me. She's a hoarder. She keeps everything. I mean, there was nothing in the trash that needed to be thrown away. She was going to keep it all. And she loves to tear up stuff. I mean, napkins and stuff. So she had the whole bed. So I got that little grab. I'm old now. So I get that little grabby thing, you know, that my wife and I have and grab stuff and pull that out. Throw it back in the trash. So now when we leave, we take the trash bag, put it in the sink, and try to put everything up to, but when, listen, she tries hard to please me. And when she doesn't please me, I have to fuss at her. You can just see the look on her face. And if I have to fuss at her, now she's miserable till, I mean, then I'll call after she's been miserable for a second, I'll call, and then she's all happy again. So we need to make sure that we're not, I mean, again, when they go into the far country and they come back, receive them. When they do something worthy of praise, praise them. And the last thing, I'm done. All kids are different. God has different plans and functions for all of them. Notice in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, not all the children are supposed to grow up just like you and me. I wanted to be a farmer like my dad, and I'm so lucky God's allowed me to be a preacher, be in the ministry, and have a farm. So I'm a lucky man. I get to do the thing. I mean, he let me do the thing I love and then also do the thing I love. So, I mean, I'm kind of like a guy that plays on the Spurs team. I just don't make, you know, $20 million. But I'll get rewards in heaven, so I'll make more. I get more in the long run than they do. But the truth is, we're not all the same. Notice Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office," verse 6, "having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith," verse 7, "or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." He said, you know, I've got a job for each of you. By the way, your children are all the same. It would be nice if we could apply, I mean, if we just had, you know, one set of things and all of our kids receive them the same. They're not. If you've ever coached a ball team, you'll realize on your ball team, not everybody's the same. Some you can poke them, make fun of them, you little stinking sissy. I mean, get moving. And I mean, and he, you know, ain't no sissy. I mean, and that motivated him. I mean, he's motivated by anger at you. I mean, and so he's mad. So he'll show you. Someone else, you call him a sissy, he's like, "Ooh, he called me a sissy. I don't want to play ball anymore. I hate this." I mean, you called him a sissy and he quit. You didn't motivate him. Well, you did. You motivated him to quit, which was not what you were trying to get him to do. So I had to learn. I mean, this one you got to pat him on the head. This one you got to go and say, "Get your butt out there." I mean, every kid's different on the ball team. By the way, every kid was different at the house as well. I wish I just had one set of rules. And I mean, now again, when it comes to certain basic things, one set of rules is what you need. But when it comes to dealing with each kid, I mean, my daughter Rachel, I didn't have to do. I mean, my son, I had to beat him half to death. I mean, my daughter, I could just look at her and she'd start crying. I mean, and by the way, quit what she was doing. I don't mean she cried. I mean, you know, till dad. I mean, she really was. My wife would often say Rachel has a tender heart, and she really did. And all girls have tender hearts. Don't think it's a girl trait because not all girls have tender hearts. Okay, but I mean, well, sometimes a guy has a tender heart. It's not a bad thing necessarily. But again, understand, not all kids are the same. And by the way, God treats us. He realizes we're all different. He doesn't have the same job for all of us. He told us over in 1 Corinthians about the different body parts. One's the eye, one's the foot, one's the leg, one's the ear. By the way, all of us have a function, not the same. So again, don't treat your kids like they're all the same, because they're not. Don't expect all of them. Now, again, would it bother me if one of my kids grew up to be a preacher? I'd love that. But see, that wasn't my call. You know what they're supposed to do? The same thing I did when I was growing up. Pray and ask God, what do you want me to do when I grow up? Now, if he made one of a preacher, I'd be a tickle pink. If he made one of a farmer, I'd be tickle pink. But the truth is, I mean, what I really want them to do, I want them to grow up and do what God wanted them to do. They weren't supposed to grow up and do what I wanted them to do. Because the truth is, they're not. Although my wife and I had them, they were loaned to us from God. Which is why we have that service when they're little bitty babies. You know what we do? We dedicate that. We give that baby back to God. We say, God, this is, we're going to raise this baby for you. Give us wisdom. Help us to raise this baby right. But we're going to raise this baby for you. And that's what every one of us parents is supposed to do. Raise that child for the Lord. So again, understand, they're not all the same. Again, I know there's lots of child-rearing truths in the Bible. So, I mean, again, I realize this is not all of them. There's a whole lot of them. But I just want to give you someone that applies to those of us who have grown kids. Those of you that have kids growing up. And by the way, those of us who are the children of God, those principles apply to us, because those are all principles from God toward His children. Again, not His flesh and blood kids. You and I are His adopted sons and daughters. And the good news is that means we have more rights than His real son. We can't be disinherited. And there's some of the things that go with adoption. If you know the rules about adoption, they're pretty good rules. You and I are the adopted sons and daughters of God. But again, some things to apply. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the time we have around the Word of God and time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, if there's one lost here tonight, I didn't preach to them, but you know who they are because you know all your children. If there's someone here tonight that's not saved, I pray right now, Lord, you'd be convicting them. Let them know the most important thing is not raising their kids right or not even being a good kid, but becoming a child of God. So, Lord, if there's one person here tonight that's not saved and not on the way to heaven, they're not sure they're saved, I pray, Lord, you'd help them to come tonight, get that settled and get saved. For those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to try to be a good child, a good son and daughter for you. Help us, Lord, to apply your principles to our sons and daughters. And, Lord, I pray that you just bless us tonight that we might pay attention and heed the word.